Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
This is Total Information AM on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. When a Tesla Cybertruck exploded outside Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas last week, the automaker was quick to share data collected from the vehicle with investigators. While that gave officials some timely insight, it's also causing concern about how much automakers know about our daily habits. With me now is David Chofness, Associate Professor in the Curry College of Computer Sciences at Northeastern University and Executive Director of the Cybersecurity and Privacy Institute. David, thank you so much for joining me on KMOX.
Thanks for having me.
So talk about the data that Tesla was able to track and gather on the vehicle and driver in this case.
So Tesla has access to a ton of information about individuals and what they're doing in their vehicles. They have cameras, so they can record that, microphones, and of course, GPS, so they know where you've been and when you've been there.
Do other new vehicles have these similar capabilities?
Absolutely. So what we're finding is that increasingly newer vehicles are what we call connected cars. So they have cellular connections, so they're always able to transmit data to servers over the internet, receive commands from them as well. Sometimes this is for like obvious purposes, like turning on your car remotely on a cold day, as many of us are experiencing today. And also, you know, where did you leave your car? Where did you park it? But once that information is out in the hands of others, then it could also be sold or used for other purposes.
So I'm curious, so when we buy a car and we know it has these features, is there anything in the purchase, in the documentation, where we kind of sign away these privacy rights that we have to the automaker?
Yeah, it's a great question. To be honest, a lot of us aren't even sure. I don't think it's very fair for us to, you know, read reams and reams of fine print to be able to figure out, is this car sending data to others? Are they going to use it, say, sell it to insurance companies and change your car insurance rates as a result, or give it to law enforcement without your permission? So in many cases, probably for legal reasons, they do disclose it somewhere. But as average people, we generally have no idea. We're just buying a car. We want to use its features, especially some of those internet connected features, so that we can remotely control our vehicle. And it's a take it or leave it scenario. So either we give them that data or we don't get the services.
So then what's the line between protecting the public? For example, in this case involving the Cybertruck, a lot of people can see the need to have some of that information. But, you know, when does it cross over to invading our privacy?
Yeah, it's another great question. I think all of us understand that in this scenario where the information about the attacker was made available, there was no harm done. That person was already dead. There was no person to harm. What we worry about, though, is if there's information and it's being provided by companies, we're no longer protected by Fourth Amendment rights. So we already have a process in this country that if law enforcement needs access to our private information, they can go to a judge and they can present evidence as to why they need that information. And if the judge signs off, then, of course, that makes sense that they can get access to it. I think what we're worried about as privacy experts, and I think a lot of consumers out there as well, is that there may be completely lawful things that we're doing that could be interpreted incorrectly out of context if that data is just handed over without proper warrants. So, for example, Tesla is not, nor any other car company, they're not subject to Fourth Amendment laws, or sorry, the Fourth Amendment itself. And that means that they could, whenever they want, give over information about when someone legally purchases a firearm because, you know, they visited a place that sells guns, or when somebody received medical care at a facility that happens to also provide abortions. So there's just a lot of these scenarios where individuals, just based on where they've been, if that information is given, to authorities without proper context and without proper channels could find themselves in trouble for something they didn't do.
It makes me think of years ago, the big debate in this was, for example, when there was technology that could only track maybe what your speed was at the time of an accident and how that could be used by your insurance company. But now we've gone beyond that. You mentioned cameras and microphones and other measurements. How could this data be abused in other circumstances beyond, for example, insurance or investigators?
Yeah, that's the question. And one of the big challenges when we think about privacy is that we don't always know what all of the harms of our data is going to be. There are plenty of people who could reasonably say, I have nothing to hide. Go ahead and take this data. But the problem is we don't know what people might use it for in the future. But even citing specific examples, when you have vehicles that have cameras in them, there was a story, in fact, in 2023 about how there were actual people receiving videos that were recorded by Tesla vehicles of embarrassing situations. And then they were sharing those videos among those the people who were using those videos to label them, you know, to improve Tesla's AI. So sometimes the harms are financial. Sometimes they aren't financial. They're, you know, it could be something embarrassing. The bottom line is that we always need to limit the amount of information that's being exposed to the absolute minimum that's needed, because we just don't know the world of harms that might come to us otherwise.
Can any of these technologies be disabled by car owners, or is it so integrated that we can't mess with it?
Yeah, that's a real problem I find right now is that as consumers, we have almost no choice. In my own vehicle, as I mentioned earlier, I could either allow my car to talk to the internet and do whatever it wants with that connection, or I have to turn off all of the remote control functionality. And as I said, it's cold here in Boston. I assume it's pretty cold in St. Louis as well. We want to be able to remote start that vehicle and get it nice and warm before we get inside. And to do that, we have to enable it all. So I do think this is something that would be important to change. I'd like to see either manufacturers change this on their own to give us more control, or even legislation or rulemaking that provides us those protections.
Are we close? Is anybody proposing any rulemaking of that nature?
Absolutely not, unfortunately. We have very limited protections, both at the state and federal levels. And that means that as consumers, the best that we can do is try to read fine print. And if companies disclose that they're doing something, then they're generally okay. And if they collect data or share it in ways that is deceptive, then maybe they run afoul of the FTC Act and the Federal Trade Commission can step in. But obviously, what we really need here are better privacy laws.
That's David Chaffness, Executive Director of the Cybersecurity and Privacy Institute, also with the Curry College of Computer Sciences at Northeastern University. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks again for having me. Take care.